Well, good morning, brethren and sisters. We, in our reading on Friday, had a lovely picture presented of the Ecclesia, represented as the temple of God. Perhaps we could have a look at that in Ephesians and chapter 2. And of course, here we have presented to us this word picture that presents to us how we should behave, actually. And we shall see this borne out of our reading yesterday in Chronicles. But we have this picture presented in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 2. Speaking of the household of God, which verse 19 tells us, and it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together. So here we, as lively stones, as Peter presents us in his epistle, we grow together. We are brought and fitted together as a temple unto God. But perhaps what we sometimes don't read and perceive here in these verses is the fact that that was only possible with prior preparation having been made. And that prior preparation has been made by the Lord Jesus Christ and by some others, as we read in verse 20, that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So this building can only be built with that preparation having already been made. The foundation laid principally by the Lord Jesus Christ, but also presented through the work of the apostles and the prophets. And here we're presented, aren't we, with the very means of our gathering together this morning, to remember that foundation laid, the preparation that has been made for us to be able to be lively stones in the first place. And it's interesting how our reading yesterday in Chronicles, which perhaps we could go there now, first of Chronicles chapter 22, presents exactly the same picture, and really is the picture that the Apostle Paul has picked up and presented when he writes to the Ephesians. Because we know how that David himself had a desire to build the temple of God. We read of that in the 2nd of Samuel chapter 7. Remember how he spoke to Nathan and presented his desire to build a temple for God, having finished his own house. Perhaps we recall how Nathan said, yes, go and do all that is in thine heart. But God comes that night to Nathan to say no. And of course, it was his son Solomon that was to build the temple. David himself had shed much blood, and God presents that as a reason for his son Solomon to build the house of God. But when we look at David, did that dampen his enthusiasm for the building? Was he downhearted because the desire of his heart would not be fulfilled in the way that he had planned? Well, certainly not. And it's interesting to note how 1 Chronicles 22 presents to us David's reaction to this message from God that he was not the one to build the temple of God. And here is David's reaction to it. Verse 5 of 1 Chronicles 22. And David said, Solomon my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. Now David's reaction was not, well, if that's Solomon's job, then let him get on with it. No. He did what he could, and he could and was permitted to prepare for it. But he didn't just prepare for it, did he, brethren and sisters, as the verse goes on. So David prepared abundantly before his death. He threw everything into his preparation. He couldn't build it, but he could do this. What an example to us. That there are times in ecclesial life when someone else is best at the forefront of activity. But what do we do in the background to help them in their work? You see, at the forefront, we are noticed. But are we prepared to put the effort in when we're not noticed? When the work that we do is not obvious? Because certainly we know that God notices. And this was the attitude then of David. We are waiting for the time when in our preparation now as lively stones we will be brought and taken by God to be fitted into the temple of God. Spiritually speaking, of course. And we know that the stones that Solomon prepared for the temple had to be prepared at the quarry. And all the work was undertaken at the quarry. And we today are at the quarry now, at this moment. Being prepared for the kingdom of God. Shaped by the hammer of God, which we're told in Jeremiah is the word of God. My word is a hammer, God said to Jeremiah. And are we allowing ourselves in this quarry in which we stand to be worked upon by God? Because you see, when the stone came to Solomon's temple, it had to fit. And if it didn't, we're not told, but presumably it was discarded. And let us take warning from that, because there will be a judgment seat for us to face. And when we face that judgment seat, let us pray that our stone, our life, has been so shaped, and we've allowed it to be shaped, that's the point. So that when Christ looks upon it, he sees that it will fit what he has prepared. Upon his foundation it will go. Are we preparing for the coming kingdom? Are we preparing abundantly? So what did David do to prepare for the temple? Because there must be lessons for us here then too. Verse 2 of 1 Chronicles 22. Then David said, this is the house. Sorry, verse 2 I want, not verse 1. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared in iron abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight, and cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar to wood to David. So what were the raw materials then for the building of this place? Well, there was brass. And we know that brass from Scripture represents our nature. We only have to look at the brazen serpent to see that principle. Nails, wood and stone. You know, all those were the basic ingredients that surrounded the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ that we here come to remember. A man that was sent, born of a woman, of our nature, who with nails was fixed to that tree, the wood. And then he was laid in a sepulchre, hewn out of stone, with a stone put at the entrance. Brass, nails, wood and stone. The very ingredients that brought about this remembrance we have this morning. And that's the start of our preparation, isn't it? The raw materials for our preparation for the kingdom of God is here. In the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then the description continues a bit later on in the chapter. Verse 14. Here is David's further preparation. Verse 14. Now, behold, In my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto. We have an enormous price and value here described. I know we have to be careful with numbers in Scripture because they don't always represent exactly what the number means in the English. But if we took it just literally at the moment, we've got 300 million shekels of gold, if you convert talents to shekels. You've got 3,000 million shekels of silver, enough to redeem 6,000 million people. Now, the numbers may not be that vast, and we don't really need to guess, because it's sufficient for the Scripture to say that it was without weight. And it emphasises its abundance. David poured everything he had into the preparation of the kingdom of God. Yet it was no more than that widow's mite that she put in to the temple box. And that's the point. Do we give all we have to the service of our God in preparation for the kingdom? Just keep your finger there, if you will, and you come to yesterday's reading in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 8. Here's the idea picture. Verse 8. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Without number, the riches of Christ. The enormity of what he has done. And it's here. There is no greater price that a man could pay. There is no greater weight of gold or silver, brass, iron, stone, whatever, that is presented here in this remembrance of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you just come over to Colossians in chapter 2, we get the same idea presented to us in chapter 2 and verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's the riches that we've been given. So let us take the warning then of verse 4. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, as Eve was with the serpent. Do you remember what it also said back in 1 Chronicles 22? David said, in my trouble, I have prepared all this in abundance. In my trouble. And that word trouble is elsewhere translated in the Old Testament as affliction or poverty. And we can see the affliction pointed forward to Christ, because it was in Christ's affliction that he paid the price. Of course, that's why we're here. But why poverty? How could you say in David's poverty he did this, when there was such an enormous wealth that he gave? Well, the answer is in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. Because it takes us right through to Christ. When you think about it, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, had everything. But he gave it all that he might, in the kingdom, be with his brethren and sisters. Verse 9 2 Chronicles 8. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And that may be exactly what David did. And that he became poor in all that he poured into the temple. We're not told. It matters not. The principle is presented for us. The Lord Jesus Christ gave all for the service of his God. And we see that here. But what of you and I? How do we respond to this great work? What do we do with this foundation that is laid before us in bread and in wine? Have a look at what Solomon had to do, because there must be our example, surely. And I see here that David represents in type the Lord Jesus Christ, and Solomon, you and I. David has made the preparation. What was Solomon to do to it? Well, he was to receive all this wealth, of course, and all this abundance. But was that enough? No. What do we read at the end of verse 14? This is what David has given to him. All these thousands and hundreds of thousands of talents of gold and weight of brass and iron. But what does David say at the end of verse 14? And thou mayest add thereto. You wouldn't have thought there would have been need to add anything with the enormity of what had been provided. But that wasn't the point. The point was that Solomon had to do something with it. He had to present his offering unto his God too. He had to join in the work. It's very easy for us at times to sit back and be very thankful for what Christ has done for us and respond with our gratefulness in prayer. But what do we do when we go away from this place to build upon it, to add thereto through our service to our God? As James says, we must not be hearers only in this. Come to Ephesians chapter 4 this time. Should I ask you to keep your finger there? Sorry that we read yesterday. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. This is the presentation of the ecclesia of God. This is an analogy of it is a body, but we could take the same idea as the temple. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. There is a need to increase, to add thereto. We read in Ephesians 2 that the temple might grow. Groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord. You see, the beginning is here, the preparation is here, but we must add thereto. And we're not alone in this. And we have help at hand. Back in 1 Chronicles 22, we're told that Solomon wasn't alone in this. It is adding thereto. And here's exhortation for us. Verse 15 of 1 Chronicles 22. Having said that he must add thereto, Solomon is then told, moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone, timber, all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. And there are workmen with us. And we're in the same room as some of them. We are not alone in this work, are we? And at times each one of us in various ways needs help. And at times, in various ways, we can offer help. For our walk to the kingdom is one of fellowship. And as we add thereto, we can add thereto together. And our preparation for the kingdom of God need not be done alone. For this is one house and one body that is being built. And what it says here, that these are cunning men, very literally in the Hebrew that means men of knowledge. And that's lovely, really. Because our preparation must be based upon our knowledge of God and his requirements. And the best way of helping one another in our journey to the kingdom of God is to open the word of God together, that we might find the way more clearly. And verse 16. Of the gold, the silver, the brass and the iron, there is no number. There is no number. It's all there. We have all the resources we need to get into God's kingdom. And the greatest resource that we have is the word of God. But our fellow brothers and sisters are there as resources too. And so what should we do? What should Solomon do? Arise therefore and be doing. Simple, isn't it, really? How much harder to do and to put into practice. Verse 19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. That's what we should be doing together, as Solomon was to do with his fellow workmen, specialists in various aspects of ecclesial life, some hewers of wood, some workers of stone. And we all have our talents. Sometimes we can hide them. Let us bring them out and let them be used. And so we now, as we come to break bread and to drink wine, remember the foundation stone that has been laid. But we are reminded of the need for us to respond to that, to arise and to build upon this foundation in this coming week. And we remember that precious life that was given for us, that we might ourselves receive an answer of blessing when the Lord Jesus Christ does return, and see that our stone is well prepared to fit on his foundation.